chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Will you stand to your feet for the reading of God's precious word? Hebrews chapter 5. I want to begin reading in verse number 5, though one verse in particular is heavy on my heart today. Hebrews 5, verse number 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said, he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard and that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. A little quick reading there. But in verse number 7, we're interested how the Bible tells us, speaking of Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And underline these two words, was heard, and that he feared. Hey, may I preach on this thought today? Cross triumph over tears. We've been studying the word triumph and victory and conquering. Jesus had a triumphant entry. Jesus triumphed over the tomb. Jesus triumphed over trials. Jesus triumphed over the tree. Jesus has triumphed even over tears. Amen. You know, there's just nothing Jesus can't triumph over. Hallelujah. Father, would you help us to preach, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Every one of us are touched by tears. I had gone to a revival meeting. It was one that lasted all day long, went all week long. And they brought different missionaries up to the stage and had them to pray in their native language, whether it was in Africa or whether it was in China, wherever they were, they got up and began to pray in their native language. And when those missionaries prayed over their country, they began to weep and they began to cry. And I couldn't understand a word they were saying in their language because I speak English. But when the tears started flowing, I understood it. Tears are a universal language that everybody understands. Tears express the deepest emotion of our heart. Tears are powerful. Tears move every one of us. Whether or not we know the story behind the tears, tears will touch our hearts. Now, I will admit some tears are selfish. Some tears are godly and righteous. Tears can be motivated by anger. I've seen people get so upset they started crying because they're mad. But I'm talking about tears that are shed because of love, because of something that's broken your heart. I wonder what kind of tears do I cry? If I had two bottles up here today to say, this bottle is for selfish tears, and this other bottle is for tears of godly concern, tears that are burdened for others, tears that are, I'm broken over my sin, which one of those bottles would be the fullest in my life? The Bible tells us that God, in the book of Psalms, chapter 56, verse 8, put thou my tears in a bottle. Are they not in thy book? Your godly concern, broken tears, God puts those in a bottle. I wonder in heaven how many tears you have in your bottle. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, blessed are they that mourn. Now, if we left it up to us, we would say, blessed are they that don't mourn. Blessed are they that never have a problem. Blessed are they that never have suffering. Blessed are they that never have to shed a tear. But that's not what Jesus said. You remember there was a time in the Garden of Eden. There was Adam and Eve. And while they were there in the garden, they didn't have to shed a tear. There was no pain. There was no brokenness. But a life without pain, which we'd all love to have, they fell into the depths of depravity and sin when they were deceived. And that's what brought on the tears. And Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You want to get close to God? Understand what breaks His heart needs to be what breaks your heart and my heart. Three times in our Bibles, we read about Jesus' tears. And I'm sure He shed many more than just those three times. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet He triumphed over the tears. And I want to look at those three places this morning. First of all, in the book of John, chapter number 11, we read in verse number 30, there's been a time that Lazarus has grown sick. Mary and Martha has sent for Jesus and said, He whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus abode there 2 days still. You would have thought if somebody calls and says they're sick, you'd get to moving, especially Jesus. But He abode there 2 more days. And then He stood before His disciples and said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Oh, man, Lazarus is dead, and Jesus said He's glad. Oh, He said, to the intent that you may believe. The Bible tells us when He gets there, He's 4 days late. Verse 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid Him? They said unto Jesus, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how He loved Him. We know what happened. He said, take away the stone. They rolled it away. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot. Number one, Jesus triumphed over tears of sorrow. When I think about Jesus' tears, I think about His humanity. I think about He has feelings like we do. Amen. He's just as human as you and I are, yet He was without sin. He's as much God as God the Father. And His tears show us just exactly how human that Jesus was. Jesus came to Bethany to visit that home. Bethany means the house of misery. Hey, that's where I lived, amen, was the house of misery. And Jesus loved that family, and He comes to visit them. We know that Jesus saw Mary weeping, and He saw those that came with her weeping. And I'm telling you, their brokenness and their sorrow, that moved Him to tears. You see, when you're close to someone, you're close enough, you can feel what they feel. I'm not just talking about sympathy. I'm talking about you can feel the sorrow that they feel, and oftentimes you'll start feeling it too. They tell me you can take two harps that are perfectly tuned one to another and pluck one, and the note that you pluck on the other harp, it will begin to vibrate as well. That defies the laws of physics, amen. But God says if we're in tune with one another, when there's tears of sorrow, we'll have tears of sorrow as well. Jesus was so in tune and with in love with His family that when they wept, He was moved to tears. It tells us about the character of Almighty God. He is touched. He's not distant. He's not off in some remote place. He is not unconcerned about what you're going through. He is loving. He is tender. He is kind. Hey, hallelujah. He understands my tears. He is compassionate and he is merciful. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He weeps with those that weep. Preacher Darren and I feel like he's so far away. Honey, he's so in tune with you that he says your name is engraved upon his hand. What about Preacher Darren? How big is his hand? Yeah, he's big enough to make the sun and the moon and hanging place, the whole solar system, including planet Earth on which you and I live. Honey, he's so in tune that he's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, even the mud hole in your front yard. The Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian Oceans are measured in the hollow of his hand. And yet, friend, he's small enough to fit in your heart and big enough to save your soul forever and ever. He loves you today, amen. Preacher Darren, why did he weep? Because they were broken. Someone dear to them had been taken from them. Lazarus was taken away and they're broken. My Bible says that Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled. That phrase in the Greek means he was sobbing. He wept. He was broken. Preacher, why do we weep? Sometimes you weep when a loved one's been taken from you. I remember how we wept when my little brother, we found him there dead. Man, I'm telling you, we wept over the empty place. We wept over the voice that's now silent. We wept because we don't see his welcoming smile anymore. I don't get text messages from him because when I hug him, I can touch him. Yesterday at my dad's church at Fletcher, they gave him a 30-year anniversary thing. And it was a great, wonderful event. What a blessing. People were so kind and pouring out their love and their thankfulness. But I'm telling you, I looked over at Mom and Dad, and I could see in their eyes as their family was all sitting there, there was one of us that was not there. My brother, tears welled up in their eyes. Not because people was thanking him. No. Tears welled up in their eyes because on this life here, my little brother was missing from that scene. His son sat with us, and how we love those boys. But there's brokenness because we don't have that welcoming smile. And when I looked at my dad's eyes and my mom's eyes, and they met me after it was over, and tearful, I thought about this. What moves them to tears moves Jesus to tears. What moved Mary and Martha to tears moved Jesus to tears. Look with me in verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Why do you think they figured out how Jesus loved him? Because of his tears. Because of his brokenness. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse number 18, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart. If you're here this morning and you've got a heart that's broken, maybe over a loved one that's taken or a relationship that's ended or some brokenness in your life, he's near to you today. I just feel I'm supposed to preach this so heavily today. He sees your tears and he's moved by your tears this morning. Do you ever cry tears of sorrow? Does your heart goes out to those that are mourning, to those that are in need, to those that are handicapped? Are you weeping over the path of our nation? Are you weeping over the lost and the dying? Oh my. This week a man, he called me on the phone and he was weeping over a brother that was lost. And I was going to have prayer with him. And the next thing I knew, hearing him pour out his heart, man, I started crying. I started weeping and we had prayer together. There was a lady that I spoke to, a godly friend that's suffering terribly. And when she's moved to tears, amen, by the pain she's in, it'll move those to tears around her to pray, oh God, would you help her? Would you touch her? Amen. I got to get off this thought, but I just want to say this. My Bible says in the book of Psalms 116 and verse number 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Preacher Darren, how can death be precious? I believe Jesus wept tears of sorrow, not just because he loved them and was moved to tears, but he was weeping because he knows what death has done to humanity. The sin, Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Amen? And because the wages of sin, death comes to our family. Death is stalking you. Death is stalking me. Death is stalking your family. And Jesus knows that. And he says, don't fear it. If you are not saved, you ought to be very afraid. But if you're a Christian, you don't have to fear death. Amen. Jesus Christ, he has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And our victory, our triumph is in Jesus Christ. And I praise him today. Though we may be broken here and my little brother's taken from us, we know we'll see him again. There will be a reunion when we get to heaven and we throw our crowns, lay them down at his feet. We'll be there together to worship Jesus Christ. Hey, hallelujah to God for that, amen. Now, second of all, I want to turn to the book of Luke chapter 19. The book of Luke chapter 19. Jesus has made his triumphant entry. He's ridden into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. The people are waving palm branches, laying, throwing out their clothes in the street, screaming and shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then them Pharisees, they walked up and put their finger in Jesus' face and said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. We don't like this unlawful demonstration. We don't like them praising you. We don't like them shouting Hosanna. Jesus said, if these that are shouting and praising God should hold their peace, immediately the stones would cry out. In Luke 19, verse 41, when he was come near, now he's still riding that donkey, he beheld the city and he wept over it. You see that? Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus began to see that city, and he began to weep over them. The word here means a lamentation, tears of anguish. He has come to the Jews to save them. He came into his own, and his own received him not. They have rejected him. They have missed their opportunity. God has sent his son to visit his people, and his people have not received him. They have rejected him. They have taken him for granted. Jerusalem has not realized their day. What an opportunity, but they did not care. Oh, Bethel, Jesus has come to be with us today. And oftentimes we don't appreciate his visitation. We take him for granted. We just expect when we wake up all these blessings and our day is going to go just like this. We just expect we're going to come to church and our preacher's going to be healthy and fine and he's going to get up and lead us in cheerleading and praising the Lord. But what you fail to realize is this. Our churches are filled with people that are dry-eyed. And the world is hell-bent on serving the devil. And our churches are not broken. We're not mourning. We're not weeping. Second of all, Jesus tears for sinners. He's weeping bitter tears of lamentation and anguish over the sins of mankind, their rejection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when was the last time you wept over a family member that's lost? You know they're lost. You know they need to be saved. You said, "Preacher, I'm praying for them." When was the last time you began to pray in such anguish and such lamentation that you just wept your way to God? He's nigh to them that are of broken heart. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You want to get an answer? Get moved to tears. Jesus was moved to tears over that city of people that did not care about Jesus. He's getting ready. Listen, by the end of the week, to don the cross, crucified for their sins. They did not care. He warned them of the danger of hell and of judgment. They did not care. They just rejected him. We know within a few years of this, 70 AD, the Roman emperor is going to come in, destroying the temple, tearing the whole city apart by piece by piece. Why? Because they rejected Jesus Christ. Your time on this earth is short. You think you're going to live and you're going to live forever. But what you don't know is your body is a ticking time bomb. You don't know when the aneurysm is going to hit your brain or your body, when the heart's going to stop beating, when you're going to get in an accident, when you're going to fall and hit your head and can't recover. You don't know what moment that may be. I've seen little six-year-old girls out playing in the yard fall out of a tree, hit her head and die. I've seen 30-year-old men put a chip in their truck and go off racing and go in a ditch and get out of the car and say, "I'm fine," and fall over dead with a brain bleed. Honey, you never know when your last day is going to be. You better know you're saved. You better prepare for the eternal life that is to come. And if you've not been saved according to the Word of God, which has never, ever changed, nor will ever change, it says if you're not saved, you're going to the devil's place called hell. And Jesus is weeping over that city, and he's at the right hand of God now, and he's weeping to God the Father, saying, "God, I paid the price. God, would you convict him? Father, would you save him?" And I'm glad one day on July 13th, 1978, as a little old toe-headed, freckle-faced boy, I bowed on my face before God, and he came to me, and he saved me that day. And I'm still saved to this day, amen, because of Jesus' blood, amen. Jesus is weeping for sinners. Are you weeping over your lost family? Your lost friends? I tell you somebody else you ought to pray for. You ought to pray for your foes. Just start praying for your enemies. You pray for your enemies, they won't be your enemies for long. You get a burden for them. Well, you didn't like that, did you? Number three, turn me back to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter number 26. I believe that when our writer in the book of Hebrews, which I believe was Apostle Paul, led of the Holy Ghost, he was writing about the praying and the supplication of Jesus Christ. I believe he's speaking about the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was praying. And the Bible, Paul wrote that it was strong crying and tears. Preacher Darren, why is he praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, moved with tears? I believe they're tears of suffering. My Bible says in verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. They just took it for granted. Jesus has invited us to go with him to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he told us to stay here and pray while he goes yonder and prays. And he said his soul was sorrowful even unto death. So we're picked with Jesus to go pray with him. We went to the prayer room with Jesus. Aren't we special? And while our Savior was being pressed with the will of God and pressed with taking upon himself my sins and your sins, can you see that pressure as it's crushing him? And being in agony and under such a weight and a load, knowing for the first time in all of eternity that God the Father would be separated from God the Son. Preacher Darren, you can't separate them. I'm a theologian. Then answer me this. Why did he say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It means to be separated from. It means to turn your back upon. He knew he would be made my sin and your sin. The things I've done, Jesus took upon himself. Do you know what that means? My Bible says that I have a Savior that can be touched with the feeling of my infirmities. Y'all said amen when I said, if I'm weeping, he feels it and he's weeping. So my sin, when it was laid upon him, he felt every pain of my sin. That breaks my heart. The words I've said and the deeds I've done and the things I've thought, oh God, forgive me. What a wretched man that I am. And Jesus loved me so much that he went up Calvary's hill and he took upon himself my sin and your sin, and he felt every pain of our sin being inflicted upon him. And in the garden, knowing this was happening, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup, don't let me taste the bitter dregs of sin. I've never known sin. I've never committed sin. Father, I've lived before you in obedience. Father, if there's any other way, if Darren can earn his way, if he can get religion, if he can be baptized, if he can be related to somebody, if there's any other way, Father, do it. Nevertheless, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. And God the Father said, Son, there is no other way but for you, the sinless Son of God, to be made a sacrifice, to shed your blood and give your life in the sinner's place. And Jesus was moved with tears and brokenness over the separation, being pressed under the will of God and pressed under my sin in the Garden of Gethsemane. There are trees that are thousands of years old, they tell me. Did you know some of those trees may have been just young trees when Jesus was there in that garden? I bet you right now they'd like to testify what they saw. The Son of God, our Creator, was bowed down under the weight of mankind's sin. Oh, glory to God. Ooh, Jesus, there he was in that garden. And in that garden where these olive trees are, there's these presses. And they would take the olives, they would harvest the olives from the trees, and they would press them and crush them to extract oil from them that you might anoint a king, that you might have something to anoint someone who is sick. Oil has a lot of different qualities. And there they are to press and to crush. Jesus being pressed and crushed in Gethsemane under the weight of my sin and the will of God. The Bible says that he was weeping and crying, and so great was his burden that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Honey, I'm telling you, in that garden of Gethsemane, he was under the weight of our sin and he shed tears of suffering. We know he would be betrayed in that garden. Imagine how that would feel. You've been betrayed by a friend. Shake your head. Yes, you know how that feels. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was mocked. He was stripped. He was shamed. He was smacked. He was bludgeoned. He was bloody. He was scourged. He carried his cross. They spit upon him. Spittle hanging all over him. There he is, nailing his hands and his feet upon that tree, shedding his tears over our sin and our rejection. But thanks be unto God, that man of sorrows and acquainted with grief did not stay. Hallelujah. They took him off that tree. They buried him in that tomb. Honey, on the first day of the week, he got up and triumphed over the tomb and triumphed over the trial and triumphed over the tree and triumphed over, glory to God, the tears. I'm going to close. I begin to think about this. You would think a son would receive special treatment. I mean, how do you do for your children? Go back with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. What do you do for your children? Don't you receive your children with special treatment? I mean, honest, when they've messed up, you're ready to whoop them, and they smile at you and say, and oh, and you forget all about whooping them, and you just love them. And you just lay all kinds of special blessings on them. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. The days of his flesh, when he'd offer prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Yet, though he were a son, God did not spare him the cross, though he was God's son. God did not make the load any lighter, though he was God's son. God did not give him special treatment. Let me tell you something. In that garden, as Jesus was praying under the will of God and praying over the weight of our sin, I believe he was saying this: Father, I trust you. Your will be done. I lay down my life. And Father, I pray that you would raise me back again. My Bible says that he was able to save him from death. You may say, oh, no, Preacher Darren, he died. He did. But he raised him. You can trust God. May I sum it up and say this? If Jesus wept tears of sorrow, tears over sinners, tears of suffering, and God heard, did God hear? Amen. I got four amens. Did God hear? Amen. If God heard, did God answer? On the first day of the week, he raised the son back to life. If God would hear his son and raise him back to life, then God will hear you. Amen. God will hear your prayers. And God will be moved to deliver you and help you. There was a Russian checker player. Chess player. He went into a museum, and up on the wall was a picture of two men playing chess. One was a younger man who was studying the board, chewing his fingernails. The other man was the devil, but dressed up in a suit. And the title of the painting was Checkmate. The devil has the young man in checkmate. And the Russian chess player asked who these men were. They told him. And he studied and studied and studied and studied and studied that painting for hours. And finally, it dawned on him. He started screaming at the painting. He said, young man, I know you can't hear me, but if you could have heard me, there is a move. There is one move you can make, and you can reverse the table and put the devil in checkmate. Just one move you need to make. May I say to you today, you think the devil has you in checkmate? If you can hear me, there's one move you can make and reverse the table and turn it on the devil and put him in checkmate. It's called Jesus. Repent of your sins. Believe in faith. He will save your soul. May I say this morning, I remember the night I got saved. I wept and wept and wept over my sins. And I was so ashamed. I still am. But he saved me and he spared me. And though I weep here, listen, one day when we get to heaven, and God Almighty begins to bring your family members in to stand before the great white throne, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're going to look and say, but Darren, I'm your cousin. Didn't you pray for me? Tell him. I'm going to weep. Maybe I weep because I didn't witness as I should. Maybe I weep because I see him sentenced off into a lake of fire. Preacher Darren, there'll be no weeping in heaven. My Bible says that God shall wipe away all tears. That doesn't just mean that you went to heaven, there's no more crying. It means that at the great white throne judgment, you've seen your family members cast away because on this life here, we didn't weep for them and mourn for them and plead with them to be saved. They've got one move to make. It's Jesus. It's your move, Bethel. You stand to your feet. Maybe there's somebody you need to be saved. Maybe there's somebody you need to make your way to this old-fashioned altar. Maybe there's somebody. So, oh God, thank you for tears. Right now, would you come? Heads are bowed. Nobody's looking. We're just trusting God. Come on right now. Mind him. Maybe there's somebody you need to pray for. Maybe it's a brother. Or maybe it's a sister. Maybe it's a cousin. Mama, daddy, a child, a grandyoungin. Oh God, they need to be saved. Maybe there's a situation. You can't overcome it. I'll say this. If you can't pray for anybody else, would you take the time right now to bow your knee and to pray for a bereaved family today? Would you take the time to say, God, I'm here to ask you, Lord, would you help them? And while you're there praying, you do business with God. Come on right now, mind him. Father, this morning, as we approach your throne, we bow on bended knees, Lord, with a humbled heart. And we say, oh God, thank you for your son. Thank you for the pain, the anguish, the suffering, the sorrow that he endured. And he did it for me, and not for me only, but for the whole world. And Lord, I bow in awe, and I praise you. And God, would you hear me? I've got loved ones, God, that need to be saved. We have witnessed. We have prayed. We have preached. Lord, I pray you'd send the Holy Ghost to convict them one more time. Deal with them, Lord, I pray in mercy. God, give them faith to call upon your son. Lord, I look this morning, the altars are full. God, there are people that need to be saved. And God, we humbly ask you, do it for Jesus' sake. God, there are people with brokenness in their lives. Marriages falling apart. Children trying to divorce parents. Rebellious, unthankful. Oh God, there's brokenness all around us. But you said you'd be nigh to them that are a broken heart. God, you said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. If Jesus could weep and cry and weep his way to God, so can we. And I believe, God, you'll hear us. God, I pray for restoration. I pray for those that have sickness, God, death sentence,
maybe hanging over their head. God, I pray you'd touch them and bring healing. God, I pray you'd send them grace for the hour. Lord, I pray for a family today, God, that's broken. That God, you'd touch them today. You'd comfort them by the power of the Holy Ghost. Help them, Lord, I pray. Touch this people, God. Help us, Lord. We give you praise for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.